This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised.
In the early morning hours of August 5th, 2009, 26-year-old Dahlia DiPolito left her Boynton Beach, Florida townhouse to go to the gym for an early morning workout. Dahlia left her husband, Mike DiPolito, then 38 years old, to rest as he was recovering from a recent surgery. However, just 2 hours after Dahlia left the gym, she receives an urgent voicemail from Police Detective Frank Ramsey, insisting that she come home immediately. There was an emergency. Dahlia returned his call and discovered that the emergency was regarding her husband, Mike. Panicked, Dahlia hurried home, wondering what was waiting for her. As soon as she arrived, she noticed police cars congesting their middle-upper-class neighborhood. But even more upsetting, crime scene tape was wrapped around the perimeter of her home. After arriving, police escorted Dahlia from her car to Detective Ramsey. This is a recording of that conversation.
I'm Sergeant Ramsey. I'm the one that called you. Thank you for coming. I'm sorry to call you. Listen, we had a report of a disturbance at your house, and there were shots fired. Is your husband Michael? Okay, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. He's been killed. He's been killed, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, don't be tired.
Listen.
No.
Try to calm down.
No.
Listen.
No,
right now, we need to get you to the station.
No.
We need to get you to our police station. I can't let you stand, man. We have to do our job. If you want us to find this killer, okay? We need you to calm down. I'm gonna need you to go with these detectives, okay? Does he have enemies? Is there anyone that would want to hurt him? Okay, who would want to hurt him? Witnesses said they saw a black male running from me. I can't let you see him, ma'am. Ma'am, I cannot do this right now. Ma'am, I can't do it. Detective Yopi, I need you to take her to the station. I can't, ma'am. Go with these detectives. If you want to help your husband, okay? If you want to help your husband, you need to go to the station with these gentlemen and tell us everything you know about who he knows, who he's connected to. Don't worry, we've already taken care of dogs with animal control for right now. Everything's under control. And we'll take care of everything else, okay? Thank you, guys.
Dahlia was grief-stricken as she was led away to a police cruiser. It's hard to say what thoughts were running through her mind, but we do know that one of them was, they actually bought it.
Today we are discussing the unbelievable case of Dahlia DiPolito, a woman who hired an undercover police officer to murder her husband, and not only denied that she did so, claimed this whole thing was for a reality TV show. Before we continue, we're going to tell the story of how Mike and Dahlia met, fell in love, and then married. According to Cinemaholic.com, Dahlia lived with her parents and two siblings, Amir and Samira. They lived in New York for several years until moving to Boynton Beach when Dahlia was just 13. Dahlia and her mother were super close growing up, and they still are to this day.
We don't know much about Dahlia's life other than her and her mother loved each other very much. Her mom supported her with everything, and that's definitely something we can be happy about because it's good to have a stable parent. And Dahlia and her family lived in a gated community in Boynton Beach. Like, her family was pretty well off, and we're not sure what happened between the age of 13 and 26, except that her parents got divorced when she was 17. But we do know that Dahlia was actually a sex worker, or an escort, as some have referred to her as, up until she met Mike in 2008. She was also selling real estate at this time. As far as we know, Dahlia has no known criminal history.
Mike says that he met Dahlia in October of 2008. He was married at the time and wasn't really looking to find someone else. As far as we know, he has a pretty extensive criminal history, which we will talk about later. He was currently working at a marketing office in Boynton Beach. All we know is Dahlia came into his office one day, they hit it off, they started dating pretty much immediately, and then literally moved in together after only 4 months of knowing each other. Mike, in love and infatuated with Dahlia, filed for divorce, and 5 days after his divorce, him and Dahlia got married at the courthouse.
I know. I'm just going to go ahead and say, this man is not a peach.
5 days.
I know. That's kind of disrespect.
Yeah.
He's been married 4,000 times. And, like, ugh. He talks about in the police interview that he called her to his office because there was an escort service.
Oh my God.
I know. Now, Mike and Dahlia had an okay marriage according to several sources. I didn't find anything that says they didn't have a good marriage, but they were only married for 6 months before the day of the incident. So it's possible that just because it was so new, no one could really get a good read on their relationship. They seemed to be fairly in love if they got married 5 days after his divorce, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. Ugh. So how long did they know each other in total before?
4 months. Before they got married.
And then, so they only knew each other like 10 months total.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, let's kind of talk about Mike's criminal history. Normally, we wouldn't talk about someone's criminal history so extensively, but it is information that's out there, and it does pertain to the story later on. In Philadelphia in 1993, Mike was arrested for possession and manufacturing with intent to deliver an unknown drug. He failed to show up for his court appearance and a warrant was issued for his arrest. In 1997, in Broward County, Florida, which is the Fort Lauderdale area, if you're not familiar, Mike was arrested for solicitation of prostitution. He pled guilty, and it's unclear what his sentence was for this crime. Between 1998 and 1999, Karen T. filed paternity suits against Mike, alleging that he is the father of her son that was born in July of 1998. And according to Karen's lawyer, the suits were dropped because they couldn't locate Mike. Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, this man is like... I don't know how he got so many women to marry him, honestly.
That's crazy. And then in 2002, in Broward County, Mike is arrested for organized fraud, unlicensed telemarketing, and grand theft for running a foreign currency investment scam. He collected around $155,000 from victims and spent most of the money on hotels, cars, and phone sex. Wonderful.
Love that for him.
He pled guilty, spent 2 years in prison, and then was given 28 years of probation and was ordered to pay back the victims.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Probation. Oh my God.
28 years.
After being released in 2004 for the theft, Mike stayed under the radar for the most part, as far as we know. I'm not really sure, but I think he did. And he got a legitimate job and got remarried. Shocking. This brings us to where, to when he met, dated, and eventually married then Dahlia Muhammad. So it's kind of confusing, but there's an ex-lover in the story. His name is Muhammad, but her maiden name is Muhammad.
Okay.
Things were going well until some odd things started happening. Isn't that weird? Someone had actually planted drugs in his car, triggering a call to the police. During another incident, a note was left demanding money. Mike later said that during his 6 months with Dahlia, he had at least 10 interactions with police. He felt like someone was trying to get back at him for his fraud involvement.
Was she?
What?
Was she involved in the fraud?
No.
Okay.
He didn't know, like, what was going on.
I was just wondering if she was, though, like, secretly. And that's what she was trying to do.
She was organizing all these plantations and stuff.
But
she was trying to make it look like
okay.
It was one of them.
Oh, okay. So one thing about Mike is that he loves his physical appearance. He goes to the gym a lot. He actually kind of reminds me of, like, the guys off Jersey Shore.
Literally, they talk about Jersey Shore in this case.
Oh, okay. I saw some pictures of him one time.
I know. Ugh,
so,
he talks like it, too.
He goes to the gym a lot. He's very built and focused on his outward self. So keep this in mind as we go back to the day of August 5th, 2009. Dahlia left super early for the gym. She spent the next 2 hours working out while Mike stayed home because he was recovering from liposuction surgery.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we said.
I know. Isn't that rare?
Yeah.
I mean, good for him.
And he's really...
I know. He doesn't... Well, I do. He doesn't really need liposuction surgery. They say that he had love handles he wanted to get rid of. I'm like, sir, you're literally like John Cena.
I know. So, like we said, the police call Dahlia and ask her to return home immediately. The police descend up on the home and woke Mike up. They basically say, hey, your wife tried to hire someone to kill you. We have it all on video. She tried to hire a police officer. And we need to take you down to the station for questioning. And then we're going to stage this whole thing to catch Dahlia. So, let's go.
Could you imagine?
What?
Sir, look, somebody's trying to kill you. Let's go.
this is insane.
Would you think that that was real? I would think someone's pranking me.
Yeah.
For some reason, Mike was literally not surprised at all. He said what we said earlier, that they had been only married, like, they had only been married for 6 months. He was married. They started dating. He got married after he got divorced. Blah, blah, blah. He told the police about the weird incidences that had led up to this day, like the drugs and things like that. And he said that Dahlia had only just started going to the gym a couple of weeks prior to this day. And she would only go with him. She wouldn't go in by herself. In fact, this is the first time she had ever gone in by herself. Here's some of that interview with Mike.
You already know why we're here. Yeah. Reference this whole incident. It's happened, an investigation where your wife hired somebody to kill you.
Yeah. Before we get started, Mike, go ahead and raise your right hand. You swear and affirm that the statement you're about to give us is true, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay. You've already experienced the whole situation that we, you know, your wife came in here.
Go ahead.
And explain to us.
Take us back to how you met her. We'll start there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And where did you all meet and how long ago?
I met my wife.
First of all, what's her name?
Dahlia. Dahlia Muhammad is her original maiden name.
Okay.
Now her name is Dahlia DiPolito. We met, I believe, in October, and she's actually an escort. That's how I met her. She came to my office one day.
You called her and solicited?
I called her and solicited her to the office, and she came to the office.
What year is this?
This was 1 year behind this year, so that's 08.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're 08 of October. And after that one time, we started dating, and she lived in California at the time, so she moved home and immediately moved in with me. And pretty much, we were on a fast-track relationship, getting along great, everything's great, you know, and as soon as we moved out of Boca in January, and I purchased a home in Boynton, and I would say 2 weeks after we did that, I hired a lawyer to get off of probation. I started giving my wife money because she was going to provide me with the other half of the money for the probation. We dated from October to January.
Okay.
So however long that would be exactly, 2-3 months.
Right.
Months.
So that's pretty quick. So you get married, and then how long after you get married did you start, or do you ever feel that something's not right with her?
About a month and a half.
Right away.
The money starts disappearing. I had drugs planted on my truck. The officers came out to search my truck. I'm not a drug dealer. I never was.
Where did that happen at?
The Ritz-Carlton in Manalapan. I came out one day, and we were leaving in the morning, and officer approached me. Is this your truck? I said, yes, it is. And I didn't know what he wanted. He goes, can I search it? There's been activity on it. Someone called. And I'm like, absolutely, you can search it. The officer searches the truck. There's nothing in the truck. He lets me leave. I figured someone called, but nobody knew we were there. It's an unexplainable thing.
Were any drugs found?
The next day, I went to get gasoline in the truck. There was drugs in my gas cap. So luckily,
you had no knowledge of that.
No. I mean, thank God, you know, I let the officer search the truck. There's nothing in the truck. Thank God he didn't find them, because, you know, that would have been a disaster. Point being, though, it was unexplainable. Nobody knew we were there.
Somebody suspected, planted it. A hunch.
A hunch was my wife.
Okay.
And I played it through my head a thousand ways. I thought, could it be? I'm laughing. I even thought maybe it wasn't me put it there, you know, and didn't remember. But I don't, you know, the point is, nobody knew we were there. Nobody had access to my vehicle except
my wife. What would her motivation be for doing that?
And we went to West Palm Beach to go have dinner at a city place. And this was about 2 weeks later. I come out to the truck again, and I see a bunch of cops standing there, and I laugh. I said, yeah, they're here for us, as a joke. So I walk up to the truck, lo and behold, they approach me. And I'm like, I can't believe it. And same routine, can we search the truck? I said, absolutely you can, you know. And they're looking. They find a cigarette pack up under my spare tire. It had a little bit of cocaine in it, they said. They let me go because, you know, I explained to them, look, man, of course you can search, whatever. And the reason they let us go is the phone call to the police station was that I had a kilo of cocaine under my spare tire. And, like, once again, we were driving down 95 that day, and we were going home. And we're on 95 in Gateway. We were going home. And then last second, oh, let's go to West Palm. We went to West Palm last second. Nobody, again, knew we were up in West Palm. Nobody knew where we were. And the only person that knew would be my wife, again. You know, another unexplainable incident.
Did you have other experiences after that, though?
One day I come out of the gym, there's a note on my car, leave $40,000 in a bag, don't tell your wife. You know, my wife was getting these fake prank calls, supposedly, from some Detective Hurley. A handful of unexplained incidents. You know.
Was there ever, earlier when we had you in here, you were talking about drinking something and you thought it might have been poison? Did you say that?
No, I was actually, my mother knows about all this, and she put her on it, because I take drug tests for probation.
Okay.
And my mom says, you better watch, because you don't know if something's in there. Like, my mom accused her of putting something in my food. And I don't know about all that, but you understand, everybody around me knows about all this crazy shit, and they all know something was wrong. And I just...
Everybody's been saying stuff about it, or...?
Everybody's been telling me about it, and I lost basically two of my best friends over this. They want nothing to do with me because they know some bullshit's going, something's wrong. My mother just doesn't say anything anymore, and that's why today, honestly, I'm not very surprised or shocked about all this, you know? I mean, I guess fool me. I've been laid up, hell of surgery on my back for a week and a half, and this, you know, I go to the gym at 5 o'clock every day. I've been going 5 years or more. And I would say maybe 2 months ago, she all of a sudden wants to go with me. And, you know, as soon as she goes with me, don't I get a note on the car window? And she's with me. Like, I've been going there forever without an incident. And for her to go to the gym with me is just ridiculous. She just never wanted to. I thought it was a little weird. I didn't think much of it. So all of a sudden, I'm laid up, and she says, today, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not feeling good, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And, I didn't think much of it. I did think it was odd. But, you know, I had to kind of give her the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Now, today when she goes to the gym, when was the last time she went to the gym early in the morning, do you know?
Since she was with me, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
So just one time, and then today?
Well, she was going for a couple weeks with me, but
okay.
She stopped. As soon as I stopped, she stopped.
Okay. She stopped because of surgery?
I stopped because of surgery. You know, I'm the one that goes to the gym. She follows.
Okay, so she never goes to the gym by herself?
No, never.
Okay. And today was the first time
first
she went
First time there. She went by herself.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And then, did she say anything besides, I don't feel good, but I'm going to the gym, or... Anything that...
No, nothing. It was, you know, I'm sitting there playing it in my head, and she told me she'd bring coffee back from Starbucks, and I have a really nice coffee maker, and I'm like, what? Like, I don't even, you know, just a little off-key, like, you know, for her. You know, like I said, more than a handful of unexplainable incidents that, I mean, if I accused everybody around me, the only one that ever made sense of it being was my wife.
Well, the reason that we're even here in this situation right now is because... That investigation we've been conducting, she actually had hired someone to kill you, you know, like we explained to you earlier. She didn't have no hesitation. You know, she's been recorded and everything else. This investigation has been going on since Friday night. Fortunately, you know, we ended up getting ourselves involved in, you know, preventing this from happening to you. You say it doesn't surprise you at all, huh?
No. It's like a bad movie, you know? It really doesn't surprise me. I haven't had this many incidents go wrong in my life, in my life, that I've had since I've met this girl. Like, you know, I haven't had my truck searched 2-3 times, you know? I don't do that kind of shit, you know? So all of this is very out of character for me. My life is, since I met Dahlia and since we've been married, the dynamics of my daily life have changed drastically. Like, I don't have police interaction anymore. I don't, you know, and I've seen the police more than like 10 times probably since I've been with her over stuff that's unexplainable and sounds crazy to people. I don't tell people my business anymore because they think I'm crazy.
Let me ask you one question here that's kind of puzzling, or that we would like answered if we can. What's her motivation for having you killed? I mean, like, why not just get divorced? Or did she ever mention divorce or separation?
Never.
So what, in your mind, what's her motivation?
She just, you know, this actually relieved me because now everything makes sense.
Good. I'm glad, Mike. I'm glad about that now.
Yeah.
So, you know, sorry about everything, but your life was saved today. I mean, if you really think about that.
To be honest with you, I'm not even grasping that yet. Like,
yeah,
I'm not grasping a hold of the fact that someone was going to try and come do something to me. You know, I mean, I don't know why, but, I'm, you know, it hasn't really, that part hasn't hit me yet.
It hasn't hit you yet.
You know?
Mike told police that whatever Dahlia gets, she deserves. While this interview is taking place, Dahlia's at the gym pretending like someone isn't going to her house to shoot her husband. When she comes home, she has no clue that Mike isn't dead or that this whole thing is fake. She is very delusional about the whole thing. The police bring her in for an interview where they start to act like she's a victim of a crime. And they turn it around and basically give her all the evidence they have against her. Here's part of that police interview.
Let me just tell you, I'm sorry for your loss.
I just want to see my husband, please.
All right, honey.
I love my husband, but I love you too.
No, you don't want to see him.
I just want to see him.
Believe me, you don't. No, could you listen, please? I'm required to warn you before you make any statement that you have the following constitutional rights. And as I say, this is protocol. If you don't understand them, tell me you don't understand them, I'll explain them to you, okay? You have the right to remain silent and not answer any questions. Do you understand that? Just answer, you have to answer me.
I understand.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Any statement you make must be freely and voluntarily given. Do you understand that? If you have the right to the presence and representation of the lawyer of your choice before you make any statement during any question, do you understand that?
Yes.
If you cannot afford a lawyer, you are entitled to the presence and representation of a court-appointed lawyer where you make any statement during any questions. Do you understand?
Yes, yes.
If at any time during the interview you do not wish to answer any questions, I'm privileged to remain silent. Do you understand that? I can make no threats or promises to induce you to make a statement. This must be of your own free will. Do you understand that? Any statement can be will be used against you in court of law. Do you understand that? I'm going to ask you to sign it and date it, and I'll have Detective Anderson as a witness, okay? Sign where the X is, please.
I'll go ahead and date it, Dahlia.
Listen, is there anybody that you know that you think would want to kill your husband?
He's on probation.
For what?
He's stock fraud.
Stock fraud? How long have you been on probation? Probation or parole? Did you spend any time in prison? How much? Do you know?
2 years in prison and 5 years on probation, coming on to 6 years.
Oh my God. And what was that for?
It was for taking money. It was like, he explained it like boiler room kind of, where they would take money from people.
Oh, I understand.
Towards things.
You know. How long have you guys been married?
Not even a year.
This is tragic. is there anybody you could think of that would want to do this to him?
I'm just telling the officers we've had problems already. And
what sort of problem?
He's been trying to get off probation.
Uh-huh.
And it's just been nothing but problems the whole time that he's been trying to get off. People weren't happy that he was getting off probation because it's a lot of money he's got to pay back.
Well, when you say people, who are you talking about? People that were involved with him before?
Just
or
a little bit of everything. This was supposed to be something, when he got off probation, it was supposed to be between us. And he went and he told, you know, friends of his, he told, you know, certain people, and everyone kind of talks, and he's constantly running into a lot of the guys that he was on probation with. Like, a couple days ago, we ran into someone, and that was a target. I mean, you know, and the guy comes up to us, and he's, like, with organized crime. It seems like a lot of the guys from Boca are starting to move up here. And we're constantly running into, you know what I mean, a lot of the guys that he knows and mm-hmm. things like that. So it was a lot of money. It was $191,000 that he had to pay back. So we were going to go ahead, and he had the money to pay off the probation uh-huh. and everything like that. And then I guess somehow when he went away, some guys didn't go away. They left
the country. You mean run away? He went to prison?
Right.
Okay.
They left the country. And so somehow he was dealing with some of those guys because they thought that he owed them, and I don't know, something with that he was taking care of. So the money that he used to get off of probation, he never did it. He did something else with that money.
Now, do you know any of these people, their names or anything like that, or where they may live, so that we may be able to follow it up? We're not gonna implicate you.
The guys that left, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know them?
I don't know them.
You've never met them?
No. I mean, I know the guy that we ran into a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. I know certain names, you know what I mean? And I know certain families, they were on the news, like the guys that all just went away.
Mm-hmm. You're lucky.
What?
You're lucky you went to the gym.
We were supposed to go to the gym.
Oh, both you were supposed to go?
He didn't know if he was going to. He just had liposuction, and he had, like, two love handles removed from here. I think he had something little. And 2 weeks ago, he had surgery. And yes,
what kind of surgery?
The beltectomy, like the lipo that he had.
Did he used to be real heavy or something?
No, he used to be, and then he got lipo done. And I guess the plastic surgeon left, like, two bulges here. So yesterday we went because he had, like, blood buildup in his back. So they drained it.
Okay.
So he was like, well, depending on how I feel today, but we go every morning. We haven't gone since his surgery, but every morning, 5 a.m., we're both at the gym. Yeah.
You got a lot of, that's better than me. I wish I could go, obviously.
Well, you know, he's very, he used to be a drug addict, and
what was his drug of choice?
Crack.
Yeah, I'll do it to you.
And he's a recovering alcoholic, and so with him, it's very important to be, like, on a schedule and, you know what I mean, like, have a system and very organized with everything. And
let's, I don't know if you know, he was shot. He was shot twice, and I want you to know all this.
Do you know this?
Did they tell you out there?
Not exactly. I mean, they told me he was shot. When I was at the gym, I got a phone call. I didn't hear my phone ring, and I called back, and they told me just to please come, that something happened at my house.
Yeah, evidently, your husband answered the door, and they took him back upstairs, and in your bedroom.
He had cameras, though. Why would he answer the door?
Like,
he doesn't answer for anybody he doesn't know.
I have
and
no.
And I mean, the only person, like, his probation officer is, like, the only. You know what
I have no idea.
He would not answer the door. We have cameras, like, at our house.
Maybe he knows this person. I didn't know you had cameras.
We
because
have,
when we got there, some of your neighbors heard the commotion.
We have cameras. The front door has cameras.
Oh, that's
the
great.
The back door has cameras.
Then,
but they don't record.
And they don't record.
Nobody knows, but they don't. We told everybody they record, but they don't record.
Oh, God.
Because he didn't want them to make a hole in the garage for the recorder to be there because of his car.
Well, when we got there, your door was wide open. When the officers got there, your door was wide open. They went in and looked. You have a, they said there was two dogs in the house in a crate or a cage or something like that. And he was found in the bedroom. He was shot twice in the head.
He wouldn't open the door unless it's somebody that he knows. Because
well, then,
we don't open for anybody.
Now, you have to understand, I wasn't there, neither was he. We have other people there, so maybe somebody broke into the house or something. I don't know. I haven't been to the scene yet.
All of our rooms have TVs, and we look specifically, like, to make sure nothing is happening because we've had drug incidences and things like
was
that.
Was he asleep when you left?
No, because we said sort of, but not really because of his back. He was just kind of like...
laying there?
He was just laying there, and he set the alarm, you know? But, I mean, I said, you know, I'll bring you coffee on the way home, and, you know, normal, like,
there
normal.
There was no alarm sound going off.
I put our little dog downstairs, and he stayed upstairs with the big dog.
I don't know. How big is the dog?
It's an English bulldog. But he doesn't do...
Will he bite somebody?
No. He loves everybody. I mean, he will run off with whoever he sees. The one that's very aggressive and mean is the white one.
It's probably the smallest
one.
The
little, like 4-pound dog.
I think she's weighs 200 pounds, right?
I'm just trying to...
What I'm going to do right now is...
There's a lot that, like, I want to tell you.
I'm going to be back. What I want to do is call right now. I'm going to go out and get in touch with the officers at the scene. I want to see if the house was burglarized.
Okay.
All right, just hang on for a second.
Thank you.
Dahlia is then left alone for about 1 minute, and she sobs to herself and puts her head on her arms on the interview table.
Okay, there's no more games with you and I. Now we're going to get down to serious business. I want to know if you know this guy. Come here. Bring this guy in here. Get over here. Get over here. You know who this guy is?
No.
You've never seen him before?
I've never seen him before.
Do you know her?
Put your head up and look at her.
Put your head up.
I've never seen her.
What were you doing coming out of her house? Get out of here. You're going to jail today for solicitation of murder. You're under arrest. That's an undercover police officer. We filmed everything that you did, recorded everything that you did. You're going to jail for solicitation of first-degree murder of your husband.
I didn't do anything.
Did you hear what I just told you?
I heard what you said, but I didn't
hear anything. Listen to me. Everything has been recorded. You were photographed in the convertible when you sat in his car in the front of CVS. What do you want to do?
Oh my God.
What do you want to do here?
I didn't do anything.
Listen to me.
I didn't do anything.
You're going to
I
jail.
I didn't do anything. Please, I didn't do anything.
Don't tell me you didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
You're going to jail today. As soon as I'm done,
oh my God.
They're going to come in here and handcuff you and take you to the Palm Beach County Jail, book you for solicitation of first-degree murder on your husband. Your husband is well and alive.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Please, can I see
no,
him?
No, he doesn't want to see you.
I'm so afraid to see him.
He doesn't want to see you.
Please.
You better quit your playing. Listen to me. I want you to quit your acting and get this over with.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Okay. You know what? You need a real good attorney. You need a real good attorney because we're going to show them the film where you say you're 5,000% sure you want him dead. You think I made that up? You think I made that up? It's exactly what's going to happen. I'm putting talking with you. When I leave this room, no other officer will ever talk to you again. The next time we see you is when you're in trial. Now, you can make it right here, or you're going to trial, and you're going to do life in prison. You want to cooperate with us, whatever you want to do. It's over and done once I walk out. I'm not coming back in to talk to you. And no one else is either. What do you want to do before I leave here? Because the next officer comes here, going to handcuff you and take you to the jail.
I need to see my husband, please.
No, he doesn't want to see you. You don't want to see you. I'm leaving now. Can I have an officer come in here and cuff this? The person.
I don't know what's going on, please.
I'm going to go ahead and arrest her for solicitation for first degree murder.
I don't want to see what's happening, please.
Can you stand up?
Stand up, please.
Oh, my God.
Take her back to booking, please.
Come on.
Do you understand what happened today? What's going on here?
A little.
Okay.
Now, slowly, I'm understanding a little bit better.
What's your understanding?
I was told one thing, and now it's like, slowly, like, all these things are, I don't really know what happened.
Do you know that you are arrested today? You're being arrested.
That part I understood.
Okay. Do you know what for?
Not really, no.
You don't know the charge?
No, nobody said anything.
Okay, go ahead and tell her the charge, Alex.
Okay. You're being arrested for soliciting to commit murder. Okay, which that means is you attempted to hire someone to kill somebody else, meaning your husband. Okay? And that's why you're here, and that's what you're getting charged with.
You
don't understand, or?
No, I never did that.
Okay, but that's what you're being charged with.
Okay.
And we have plenty of evidence to back it up. Okay? So, with your rights in mind, we want to give you an opportunity to do some soul searching, maybe, and maybe get a lot off your chest and tell us the truth. That's what we want to hear. I mean, this has been worked for a couple of days now. It's not just the first day we're doing this, reference to this case. And we have a lot of information to support our charge. It's just not a quick little thing. So, you know, we don't know when you're lying to us and all that. We just want to hear the truth. I mean, it's done. It's over with now, you know. And this is your opportunity to tell us the truth. That's all we want to hear. And we know the truth. So I know it's hard to commit to that, but now's your time, you know? Do you have anything to say about this?
I'm going to talk to my husband.
Okay, well, you can't talk to your husband. He's not here right now. Let him go home. He's taking care of the house and the dogs, so obviously your husband's alive. You saw him, right?
I saw him. I'd like to talk to him.
Okay. And did you see that black officer that was here?
I saw him.
In handcuffs. Well, he's an officer. Okay. So, does it get any clearer than that? I mean, you know?
The tragedy was prevented today.
Yeah.
You could look at it that way, you know? That's simple.
A big tragedy, I mean, someone's life, so. Everything's on tape, Dahlia. There's no denying it. You know? Everything's on tape, and it's not a bluff, so. All the conversations. And there's some video too. So.
What are you thinking?
That I'd like to make a phone call. I just feel lost.
Okay,
I mean,
well, who do you want to call?
I have to call my mom.
We'll let you call your mom after this is done.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I just, everyone keeps coming and I'm signing all these things and going over all these things and I don't really know what they're for. I'm just signing it because everyone's saying, well, you know, if you sign this, I'll help you, or will this, or will that. And
I don't know about that, but the only thing we're concerned about is a rights guard, and we went over it twice.
And he's where I came, and I guess that may have been for the release of the tape earlier. I don't know, because he never came back. And I signed something, and I don't really know what it was.
Okay, well.
I mean, I was hysterical, like, when he came, and.
And that's not.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Alex.
And that's understandable, okay? Our main concern right now is the fact that the crime, you gotta understand this, okay? Dahlia, listen to me for a second, okay?
I didn't do anything.
Listen to me for a second, okay? This is not our first day, okay? It's not definitely not our second day, all right? This is an ongoing investigation, all right? Not only do we have your videotape, we have every conversation that you had leading to this point, all right? So for you to sit here and deny that you haven't done anything, it's not gonna help,
All right? Because we know the whole story from the beginning to the end to this point that we're right here right now. All right? Every little thing that you've done since this started, we've been involved in it. Do you understand that?
I understand.
Okay.
I'm not trying to undermine you.
I'm just telling you the truth. That's the truth.
Right?
Well, unfortunately, you're not going home. Okay? You're looking at some serious charges here. Do you understand that you made the attempt to hire somebody to kill your husband? That's how serious this is. Okay? You can sit here and shake your head and deny it, but I'm going to tell you right now, all right, when the jury and the judge sees that videotape of you having this conversation, making a deal, all right, that's how far you went, all right? It's not about denying it wasn't me, I didn't do anything, because the video, the audio, it's not going to lie, all right, and all the evidence that we have collected throughout this investigation.
You sound like a fool right now denying this, because like my partner just said, everything's on tape, video and audio. I know, but you're not going home, you see? You're being arrested, so you're not going home.
But what do I have to do to go home? It's safe to go home.
I know, but you can't. It's impossible. You're going to the Palm Beach County Jail after this. You can't go home. You're being arrested. This is not a game. In your mind, it might be a little game, but this is very, very serious. Murder? Are you kidding me?
So, not to laugh, but it is so cringy. She's so cringy. She's embarrassing.
Literally.
Is she not embarrassing?
Yes, it's awful.
Like, I just make fun of her. And the only reason I'm laughing is because nobody actually got physically hurt. And she's so ridiculous. She's so delusional and denying things. She thinks she can get away with it just because she's pretty or something.
Mike, please, please.
Mike, come here. Please. Oh, thank God you're alive.
If someone told me, Luke has hired someone to kill you, I would be like, y'all come there and stomp your teeth down your throat, okay?
Literally, like, kill.
You were gonna off me?
Mike, come here, come here! While she was getting arrested, I wanna go home. And my favorite thing is when she's like, I didn't do anything. It's like, what? And you guys will hear recordings later, but she's literally a psychopath, okay? I don't know what her deal, like what she was trying to accomplish with that, but it's insane. A few days before August 5th, a man named Muhammad had come into the police station claiming that his friend Dahlia was trying to hire someone to kill her husband. He wanted to report that because he was concerned, obviously. Oh, they asked him to wear a wire and he agreed.
Yeah.
Their texts, emails, phone calls, and in-person conversations were recorded. They had something like over 600 phone calls, okay, and texts.
So she was just friends with this man, and she
ex-lovers or whatever
thought she could talk to him about killing Mike.
Literally. I know. They also recorded the conversations between her and the undercover police officer, and actually the TV show Cops was filming part of the whole operation. The police had Muhammad refer Dahlia to a hitman. They were like, refer her to one, like tell her.
Yeah.
During one of the conversations with the hitman, he asked if she was sure she wanted Mike murdered. And she said she was 5,000% sure. Here are some of the recordings from the interaction between the hitman and Dahlia.
All right, man, I just got to know a little bit about the dude. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it and what exactly is going to be done. All right? And I don't know if you got a recommendation. You know, what you want, what you know about him. Dude, is he your husband or something? Boyfriend? Your husband? How many have been married? No, for real, because the thing is, you know, after I talked to you today, you know, this phone, garbage.
Okay.
You won't be able to get a hold of it. Okay, I just want to make sure that, you know, it's what you want.
No.
All right? Okay. Because, you know, I'm here on wood. I'm doing my dude a favor, and, you know, and I'm lowballing. The price is really, really low. You know what I mean? So I just want to make sure that, you know, this is what you want. All right? So, sure you want to kill this dude?
Could we really have to?
All right.
You know, it's just, I'd rather be as less, you know, what
okay.
I'm going to feel.
All right. all right. I know I got a picture. I've got a picture of the house or whatever. You know, I know you have an alarm system.
We have alarm, motion detector, and camera.
What's the company?
The
that monitors the alarm system.
It's
not one of the common.
No, it's not like
not
a main.
ABT
no,
or,
it's not like a main company or anything like that.
So it's a smaller company.
Okay.
All right.
But the thing is, like, in the middle of this week, he's going to be somewhere, and so I wanted to talk to you and see if.
Where is he
going to
be?
Something can possibly, you know what I mean?
Well, all right, so you don't want it at the house?
I wanted to talk to you and see if it's something, you know what I mean, at that place, if you could do something like that, or if it can't be done, and, you know.
Well, that's the thing, which is why, you know, I want to know as much information so I can plan, you know, because I've already started planning as if that's going to be in the house, which is why I asked him for the key for the house.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because my thing was it's going to be a, you know, in and out, you know? Not comfortable with a lot of people, not comfortable with me with keys in the house, all that kind of stuff, you know, like a lot of personal information. You know what I mean? It'll take a little while, but I'll get in, you know? I don't care about the alarm system, I just got to know who it is, you know? And because a lot of times, you know, whatever I get from you, whatever money I get from you, most of it goes into, you know, planning and getting people to do stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's just the way it is.
So how soon can we get everything going?
Well, it's up to you.
Because, I mean, it's not like this week, but, like, my understanding of everything was that, like, you know, I was going to give you what I gave you, and then that was, that was that. I wanted to talk to you and see if it's something, you know what I mean, at that place, if you could do something like that, or if it can't be done, and, you know.
Well, that's the thing, which is why, you know, I want to know as much information so I can plan, you know, because I've already started planning as if that's going to be in the house, which is why I asked him for the key for the house.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because my thing was it's going to be a, you know, in and out, you know? Not comfortable with a lot of people, not comfortable with me with keys in the house, all that kind of stuff, you know, like a lot of personal information. You know what I mean? It'll take a little while, but I'll get in, you know? I don't care about the alarm system, I just got to know who it is, you know? And because a lot of times, you know, whatever I get from you, whatever money I get from you, most of it goes into, you know, planning and getting people to do stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's just the way it is.
How soon can we get everything done?
If you want it done tonight, tomorrow, or the week, I understand. I could get it done by Wednesday if you want me to.
Okay.
You understand? But I got to do my homework, you know?
Right.
I got to, you know exactly where the place is and how to get out of there, how to get in and out. You understand what the neighbors want? I got to call the cops, you know, report a shooting to see how fast they get to that location. There's a lot of stuff I gotta do.
Okay.
That's gonna cost me a lot of money. So I gotta buy a phone to do it with and then burn the phone later on. There's a lot I gotta do.
Right, so what can we
but
do?
No, I don't mind. You ain't gotta do it now. As a matter of fact, you know, you can leave the thing. You can leave, you know, my payment at the house. If you wanna do it at the house. He says he's gonna be somewhere this week. If you wanna do it somewhere else, then I have to meet with you, you know, later on to cash.
Right.
Understand? But, you know, you let me know. You give me a day. You give me a time.
So how are we
give
gonna
me a
do
habit.
It? So if we go ahead and meet do it, like, at the house, like, how soon could you do it?
I could do it Wednesday morning at the house, because I was looking in the news, newspapers here, there's been a lot of burglaries in this area, alright? It's
yeah.
Nothing, it's not uncommon for someone to break into a house,
uh-huh.
Okay? It's going to be like, I break into the house, you know, didn't think he was going to be home, because everybody works in the daytime.
Right.
I'm going to think he's at work, boom, he's not at work, then, you know, he gets two in the head.
Uh-huh.
That's it, you know, I take a couple things with me, break a couple windows, make it look like a robbery that went bad. It's all over. I'm gone out of there. You understand? I'm not going to be by myself. I'm going to have other people watching my back, you know, doing the thing. You know what I'm saying? Because
Okay. He
have guns in the house.
No.
All
right. He's right now, he's on probation. So there's a lot of people that don't like him.
All right. What's his name?
Mike.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's how I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Robbery went bad. That's the thing. Okay? Now, once that's done, you know, I'll wait a few days. I'm not going to call you right away because the police are going to be all over this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? The police are going to be asking you questions, although they know it's going to be obvious what it is, and they already know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, they're going to ask questions, you know, because that's how they got to do it.
Right.
Okay? But I give you maybe 1 or 2 days, you know, but I'll be in contact with you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Once it's all done, you know, and then I get paid.
Okay.
Okay. All right. How much does he know about this? And how much do you trust him?
He's my cousin, and, you know, it's like he's the one who, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, because I know you talked to my man, and, right. You know, my man said he's good. You know what I mean? I'm just saying for you. You understand? Because I don't know how well you have the pressure. You understand? I don't know, you know, because I don't want...
No, I'm not going to, you know, I'm a lot tougher than what I look. I know you see me. You're like, oh, what a cute little girl, whatever. You know, but I'm not.
You are. You're extremely beautiful.
Thank you, but, you know, I just need to make sure everything's going to take care of.
All right. Okay. So, you pay me the back end. How much are you paying me?
What do you pay back end? Well,
okay, when it's all done. I was going to get $3,000 from you today, and $3,000 when it's all done.
Right.
Okay? Since I'm going to collect all of it at once, you know, just throwing maybe $1,000 more.
Okay.
$1,000 or $2,000. Okay. So, can you do $700,000 or $800,000? What's this one?
Just $7,000, is that okay?
Okay, $7,000 cash. Okay? All right, now here's the thing. That's why I want to ask you again. All right, this phone, after today, until I get a hold of you, after it's all done, you have nothing to get a hold of me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't try to call me. Even if you call me this morning, it's going to be working. If I need any more, you know, information. Okay, what's the name of the development that house is in?
Over by Fusta.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought it was, like Fusta Tall Hill.
Yeah, it's right over there.
All right, okay.
That's why I wanted to meet you here, so that then you could see, you know what I mean?
What's the house number?
No, on Wednesday he's leaving.
He's leaving on Wednesday?
He's leaving Wednesday.
What time is he leaving Wednesday?
Between 8:15 and 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to know, like, do you want to come to my house Wednesday, or do you just want to... You know what I mean? I don't know what kind of scenes you do, whatever. He's going to be going to the bank on Wednesday. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if that's too public for you or
no,
if that's too...
What's he doing at the bank?
He has to pull out money for his business partner.
Oh, he's not going to... Okay, so he doesn't have any money at the house, man?
He's hard cash. He's going and pulling out the money because he has to make it look like it's coming from an account from his business partner.
Okay.
Like a business account.
How much money?
He said he was pulling out... I think around
10. It might even be better. He's got 10,000
right now. Okay. He's going into the bank on Wednesday and he's pulling up money. Like, I know what bank he's going to.
What bank is he going to?
In Boca. Are you familiar with Boca?
I could find out.
I know exactly
I've
which bank
in Boca
he's going, and I know what time he's going to be there. He'll be there early. He'll be there when the bank opens.
Okay. All right. What's the name of the bank he's going
to? So, the bank that he's going to, he's going to Bank of America.
In Boca, you know where exactly that
is? Yeah, I know exactly where, what time, everything.
Okay.
So I don't know if, you know,
well,
the problem with this, though, is that from where the bank is to where the partner's office is, it's literally, like, next door to each other.
Okay,
like, he's going to have to get back in the car to go there. I know where the office is at and everything like that. Like, I could show you where everything's at.
His office, his apartment?
Yeah.
All right.
But now I don't know if that's, like, too public for you, or...
Well, I mean, yeah, I could, you know, I could do it like that. But it is public. I'll get the money. But the thing about it is that it's a harder getaway. If it's in Boca, how close is it from, like, I-95 or something?
You're closer to the turnpike.
The bank is? Bank of America. What road is it on?
441.
441. Closer to the turnpike is good, too. Because, as you know, I need somebody.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
He'll probably be in that Tahoe, and he has a Porsche that I'm pretty sure he's going to be in that Tahoe.
Okay.
And he just had surgery, so, you know...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he'll be in the
problem. It's like taking money from my kid. All right.
So what I was thinking is that would benefit you because obviously, like, you know what I mean?
No, either or. The thing is, you know, it's more risky doing it in public like that, but I don't mind. I just got to, you know.
But he'll have it for sure because the friend texted him, the partner texted him, you know, when are you coming?
Okay.
And then from there, I know where he's going right after that. But he won't have the money anymore. He's going from the bank to there, and then that's it. You're not going to catch him anymore with money.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. If I don't do it now, because, you know, the thing is, I can, you know, I don't want to get greedy, but, you know, the fact that he's only got $10,000 on him, I'm interested.
Exactly.
And it's only going to make it look like, you know, he has more reason to be robbed because of that amount of money.
Right.
Right. And they're probably going to suspect the partner because the only partner knows he's going to get
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
All right. So what I'm going to do is that, you know, I'm going to try to change my plans a little bit and then try to, you know, do it with the whole bank thing. You know, if I can't come through with it by Wednesday, then it's going to have to be at the house. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm more interested in that additional $10,000 I'm going to get from him. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's not going to come out of your pocket.
So what do you need then? Do you want to go ahead and drive by that area and, like, scout it out, or what are you trying to do?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
He's just smoking. I'm not letting him smoke in the truck.
Right. No, I think I'll find out. As long as I know where the bank is, or as long as I know what car's going to drive, I know I'm going to have people following from the house to the bank.
Okay.
All right? And then he's like, he's going to be on.
Because you know he's going to have it. That's what I'm saying to you. You get him at the house, it's like, you know, it's like, I have nice shit at my house, but still, like, if you go and you know
what I
mean?
He doesn't keep any, like, you know, large amount of money at the house?
No.
Okay, all right, okay.
No, so you're better. I mean, nobody knows. Everybody, when you come to my house, you think, you know what I mean? There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of stuff there, whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know?
All right.
You know, Wednesday, I told you where he's going to be, and then you need to know where he's going to be after he leaves the Partners,
yeah.
Or no?
Where's he going to be at?
He had a dentist appointment right across the street at like 9:30, 10 in the morning.
Okay, 9:30. And at that point,
is he
leaving town Wednesday? Is he going somewhere? He's leaving town?
No, 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 that was that.
Okay, all right. Then he's going to come back home.
Right, then he's going to come back
home. Definitely not coming back home with the money. Partner's going to be with
him. No, he's meeting the partner, and then from there he's going to...
Okay, all right. I'm going to try to do the poker thing, though, because I've been planning for, you know, over here. Just, you know, I got to do my homework and come back.
No, that would be ideal, because it would make it seem like that's the reason why.
Right. Wednesday, bank, $10,000, right?
Yeah.
And, doing the off. All right, he's going to be in that car. His name is Mike. And so he just had surgery when?
His back right here.
All right, okay. So he's not going to be able to move that.
He won't be able to, like, I mean, he walks fine and everything like that, but I mean, you know, it's going to be like a little bit of a struggle.
Okay.
If he wears here, like all this here, you know, all these here are like tender points.
Okay. All right. Okay. If it's not done by when it's been now and when it's done, you know, you're not going to have an option to change your mind. Even if you change your mind, you're not talking to him.
There's no changing. No, there's no, like, I'm positive, like, 5,000% sure. Like,
okay.
I was stressing when you told me you were going to come up here, and then I'm, like, looking at the time. I'm like, listen back. He's not coming. He's not this. You know, it's like all this stuff or whatever. Like, no, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Like, as soon as he told me, listen, I need the money from you, I went. I grabbed it right away. Like, we were good to go. Like, with me, you're not going to have a problem. You're not going to have an issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nothing of nothing. I just...
Okay. Do you have any money on you right now you could afford or anything? You don't have to. I'm just saying.
I didn't bring anything.
Okay. No big deal. It's all right. Okay.
Well, I mean, he walks the dog in the morning, and when he walks... You know, every morning he's walking the dog, like, at a certain time. We leave our front door unlocked.
Oh, perfect. And are you going to be home Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning, yeah, unless you tell me otherwise.
All right. Okay. Do you go jogging in the morning? Do you go to the gym in the morning?
I was going to the gym, yeah. I mean, if I go tomorrow, it's not going to look weird or anything.
Okay.
I go to the gym on a regular basis.
All right, Wednesday morning, go to the gym.
Okay.
All right, because, you know, because if I can't do the bank thing, you know, then I'm going to have to do it at the house. I don't want you at the house.
Okay. Around 6:30, 7 o'clock, he always walks the dog in the morning.
Okay.
And
okay.
He walks the dog across, like, over where the lake is, and our door is always unlocked.
I'll be in the house by 6:30 Wednesday morning.
Okay.
6 o'clock, you're in the gym.
Okay, if you decide that you're not going to do the...
Well, that's the thing. Listen, by the time you get back from the gym, you're going to find two things. There's a dead body in the house, all right, or nothing.
All right.
Okay, if it's nothing, then it's going to be the thing. All right.
Okay, so I'm gonna go to the gym tomorrow then. But when I go Wednesday, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But remember, always around 6:30, 7 o'clock, he's always
walking the dog.
Walk the dog.
Okay. Just make sure you're at the house by 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, and I guess
you're here for me.
I'll hear from you.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
So as you just heard in the recordings, the plan was to either kill him in the morning around... Sorry, just start over. Okay. So as you just heard in the recordings, the plan was to either kill him in the morning around 7 a.m. or kill him while he's out withdrawing money from a bank for his business partner. It's crazy to listen to Dahlia explain that he won't put up a big fight because he just had surgery. We have one more set of video clips to share with y'all, and in our opinion, this is the most interesting of all. Here's the entire 10-minute conversation between Mike and Dahlia after she was arrested. If you don't want to listen to this whole thing, feel free to skip ahead.
Hello. Yeah, what's up? discussing, Mike. Can you please come here?
Hey, listen, I don't want to fight with you. Honestly, I can't help you.
Mike,
don't you understand what just happened?
What they're saying is not true.
How is that possible?
Mike, I'm sitting here. It's not true. It's not possible. You wouldn't even give me 2 minutes to talk to you, but it's not possible. What they're saying is not true.
How in the hell did I hear it and see it?
Mike, I heard what you heard. It's not true. I heard what you heard and I saw what you saw. Everything they showed you, they showed me.
And how is it not, how are you telling me that?
I am giving you my word that it's not true.
What do you, Daddy, I couldn't help you if I wanted to.
Mike, please, I need an attorney. Can you please help me? This is not true.
Your brother was here and I spoke to him. And he's going to go talk to your mom. I called them for you already, right?
Mike,
so everybody, everybody knows where you're at.
Mike,
I took care of it.
I know that. I need your help, okay? This is not true.
I got it, too. Look, how do you explain what I saw and heard?
Like, I am limited on my phone call. You know more than anybody. It's not true. Just give me time so I can talk to you.
What did you say? I saw it. I heard it.
I saw what you saw, and I heard what you heard.
Okay, what the f***? You said you wanted to have me killed. I heard that.
That's not true. That is not true.
How is it not true?
How can you believe that?
I heard your voice.
How can you believe it?
That isn't the point. I heard you say it.
It's not. I heard what you heard, and it's not.
What did I hear then? I heard you say.
I heard the tape. Okay, I heard the tape, and I saw pictures, and I saw the whole nine yards. I saw all of it.
So why would you meet a black guy in a parking lot? Explain that.
I'm sitting here on the phone. I will tell you when I see you in person. Please.
You're not. I can't come there anyway. I'm not allowed there.
That's not true. Who said that? They tell you that on purpose. That's not true.
I don't know what you could tell me. Even if, let's pretend, I said, oh, it's all better. I can't, they're charging your ass. Don't you get it?
Like, I didn't do anything. Please.
I don't know what to say to you. I can't help you.
What do you mean?
It's out of my hand.
You're not even trying.
What am I supposed to do? You know, one thing after another, you can't explain this one. You know? Come on, man. What do you mean you didn't dare him? You met a guy in a parking lot.
You knew me, okay? You needed me yesterday. I took you right to Fort Lauderdale because of your thing, because of this, because of that. Every time you need me, I am here for you. Every single time, and there's no denying that.
So why would you meet a guy in a parking lot and hand him $1,200 and say, yes, I want him dead?
I didn't give anybody $1,200. Period. Where they got that from, I have no idea. I never gave anybody money. I never paid anybody money. I never anything. Nothing of nothing. And you have my word. Nothing.
I saw you with this guy in the truck or whatever the f*** it was. I saw it. I heard your voice clearly. Well, I don't understand.
I did not say those things. Period.
So how did they get your voice on that tape recorder?
I'm limited with my time, please. Okay, can you please help my mom, please?
What can I do?
You can get me money, please.
Is she gonna call me?
No, why would she call you? Call my mom.
I did call her already. I spoke to her, and she didn't believe anything I said, and I didn't say anything bad.
Because
I let her know.
Because you didn't want to help her. I already talked to my mom. You didn't offer to help her. You just said, okay, well, you know, whatever.
You gotta be kidding me, man. Look, Talia, I heard you say that shit.
Like,
okay?
I'm telling you right now, okay?
You can't fix it. You ought to listen to me. You need to get your lawyer. Your mom's gonna get you. I spoke to your brother. And you need to just handle it. Because, Talia, listen, if I go screaming to the judge or whatever I say, oh, it's okay, they're charging your ass.
It doesn't matter, period.
It doesn't matter. You can hire 5 lawyers. They're charging your ass. They have your voice, your face, everything on tape. You're in a lot of trouble. I'm trying to help you.
Are you trying to help me? How?
Because I'm trying to get your head get off the bullshit and understand what's going on here.
What bullshit would that be?
That is,
I'm sitting here. My
how are you gonna sit there and tell me that? How are you gonna tell me that you didn't say it, you didn't do it, when I saw you say it and I saw you do it?
Do you have any idea how I was when they told me what supposedly happened to you, how I got and how I was and how everything?
Right, and you wanted me 500 or 5,000% dead.
That's not true.
You're absolutely
that's
sure,
not
right?
True. I heard what you heard, and that's not true.
And what did you hear then?
I heard the 5,000% sure. I heard, what else did I hear? I heard the whole thing. Everything you heard, I heard. And
well,
not
what,
once.
What are you disputing about it?
I never wanted to dead, period. I never paid anybody. I never gave any money. I never
what
anything.
What were you paying him for?
I didn't do anything. It's what I'm trying
why
to tell you.
Why did you pay him? Why were you exposed to a video camera and a tape recorder? Why?
Can you meet me in person so I can talk to you?
No.
Why?
Explain that to me right
why?
Now.
Why?
Why the f*** should I?
Because you know me. Okay, whenever you need me, I am there for you, period. You know that. Or am I not? You couldn't even get off the couch the other day, and I came, and I brought you dinner, and I this, and I that, and I always make sure you're always taken
no.
care of. You're always everything. I never, ever, 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 ever in my wildest dreams ever want that for you, ever.
Well, you said it, Diane. You hired the guy.
No, I did not say anything, period. I didn't say anything.
I heard you.
I didn't say anything. I heard what you heard, and I didn't say that.
What the fuck? I heard you say it. How did you not hear it? I mean, how did you not hear it? I heard you. I heard you. I saw you. You know? I saw it. I heard it. I don't understand what you're arguing with me about. And where were those two safety deposit fees? What are they to? My money?
No, it's the paper. What are you talking about?
The keys they found in your purse. Is that where my money's hiding right now?
No, they're just regular papers.
No, they were safety deposit keys. I know what the they look like.
Right, and it's got papers. That's it.
Well, listen. I don't know how you're going to actually have the nerve to sit here and lie to me now. I don't understand. Like, I heard you say it, Dahlia. I saw your mouth do it. Okay? I can't help you even if I wanted to. Do you get it?
Why don't you want to?
It's out of my hands.
You're not even trying. It's different if you're trying. You're not even trying.
What could I possibly do for you? I don't get it. What could I do?
You're not even trying.
Trying what? I'm sitting here like a dumbass.
Okay, they're getting ready to, like, take me again.
Daddy, I'm going to give you some advice, and you need to listen. You're going to be ran around in there for a little while, a couple days. You need to just try and relax and just go with it. And keep to yourself and don't say a lot.
Like, I love you. Don't do this to me. I'm sitting here. Everybody treated me awful. Sure, I can't do anything to you. You know me. Everyone do this thing awful.
I can't help you. I there's nothing I can do to help you. You know?
Hello?
Yeah. You know? Know what I'll do? You know what I'll do for you? Seriously?
What?
You sign my house back over to me. I'll help you, Mom, immensely. Give me my house back. That's it.
That's it, what?
I'll help you. So I don't have to go through the f***ing legal f***ing bullshit I have to go through already.
What does that mean?
It means sign my property back to me that you stole, basically.
That's what you're thinking, and I didn't steal anything.
All right, so listen. I'll have the papers sent over to you somehow. You'll sign them over to me, and then I will help your mother. Okay?
I'm not signing anything.
I know you wouldn't sign anything. I knew that wasn't going to happen. So I can't help you. Then
that's what you're thinking about. I'm sitting here watching. You're thinking about.
Yeah, you tried having me killed.
That's not true.
You're a f***ing liar. You're a f***ing liar.
What did your mom say?
She's not saying shit. She's sitting there. What's my mom saying?
And what?
Check it out. My mom, your mom, everybody else's mom's all out of it. You know where you're sitting right now? That's the reality. I can't fix it. I just offered to help you, and again, you have the balls to say no to me. Okay? Then I can't help you.
How do I believe you're going to help me if I do that?
Because you know why? Because I'm the only person on the phone that's ever done what they said they were going to do. Me. Okay?
How do I believe that?
Don't say shit. I just said I'd help you. Okay? You just basically said you to me, which is hilarious considering your situation and considering what the just happened today. Have your mom call me. I'll talk to her about it. I told you what I'd do. I'll fix it. I'll help you. You got to do the right thing. All right?
That's it. Getting fingerprinted now.
All right.
Dahlia went to trial in April of 2011. She was facing up to 30 years in prison. The prosecution said Dahlia was a scheming, manipulative woman that used sex to do what she wanted. They presented the recordings we played for you, as well as a recording from her friend Muhammad's car from early August where Dahlia met up with him at a Chili's. Hi, welcome to Chili's. Dahlia got into the car and they discussed the whole plot. She said she didn't want to file for divorce because Mike would come after her. She went on to tell Muhammad that it's, quote, not about the fucking money. Muhammad told her that he would set her up with a hitman. They talked about how it would go down and how much money it might cost. Dahlia also told him that she knows of people that she could blame his murder on that would want to do him harm.
Where was she getting money?
They just have money. I don't know why, but they just have money.
Okay, so Dahlia then gave Muhammad a photo of Mike and a photo of the house, along with $1,200, so the hitman could buy a gun. She also asked him to wipe her prints off of the photo. Phone recordings were played in court between Dahlia and Muhammad, where they talked about when the hitman would contact her so that they could set up a meeting. Dahlia suggests that the hitman could rob him because he will go for a bank withdrawal. She just keeps suggesting ways that this will all work out for her and how the hitman can do this so easy.
She's like got everything figured out. She's like, look, he's going to be vulnerable. He's had surgery. It'll be easy to get him.
Was she going to get, did she get a lot of money out of this? Like, was that the plan or?
No. She said it wasn't for money. It was like, she just wanted him dead. And to this day, no one really knows the real true motive. It's hard to say.
Yeah, this is crazy.
In the first call between the hitman and Dahlia, he says that he needs $3,000 up front when they meet. She agrees immediately and they get off the phone. Dahlia then calls Muhammad and said he asked for $3,000 and a key to her house, and she said she was afraid he was going to rob her. So she didn't bring the money when they met at CVS because she was afraid. The meeting at CVS is the clips we played earlier in this episode. The prosecution also played the video of Dahlia finding out about her husband's murder. The prosecution explained that she started crying before the officer even told her what happened, mm-hmm. which is what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Which in the voice recording is kind of hard to hear, but if you click the link in the show notes, you can see the video in full, and she does start crying.
Yeah, he said, like, he didn't even start saying, like, the word dad or anything.
I know.
And she was like, ah!
I know. The prosecution also claimed that Dahlia had her former lover do all of the drug planting and other suspicious things to Mike. Not Muhammad, but somebody else named Mike Stanley.
Oh my God.
I think she was trying to get him arrested for violating his probation so that he would be put away for a long time. And when that didn't work, she decided killing him was like the only way. And the prosecution said her motive for getting rid of Mike was that she wanted a lavish lifestyle without him.
So, divorce.
Yeah, but she said she couldn't do that. So they always weird. Say that.
I know. I don't understand that. So the defense called all the video evidence the police had was all faked and orchestrated by Mike, Dahlia, and Muhammad as a way to get on reality television. Okay. They said Mike loved reality TV shows and that he wanted to get the attention of someone who produces reality TV shows.
Embarrassing.
They said the plot was never real and that no one was going to be killed. They said that Mike was going to tell the police it was all fake once Dahlia was arrested, but he never did what he was supposed to do. They said Dahlia was aware of the filming. During the trial, Mike denied that he had anything to do with a reality TV setup. He never spoke to a producer, said he never wanted to be on a reality show, etc. So, the defense also brought in a TV expert.
A TV expert?
What?
I'm a TV expert, actually. I can testify.
So, this person said that sometimes people do crazy stuff just to get the attention or get on TV. And they also brought in a computer forensics analysis who said that a few months prior, Dahlia had researched how to get onto reality TV.
Which, okay, that's a good, they should have included that. If that is their defense, okay, yeah, she was searching for it. But if you knew Dahlia and, like, who she was and the kind of lifestyle she lived, she would Google that.
There's also a lot of ways to get on reality TV.
Yeah.
That is not killing
somebody.
Yeah. Or setting up some, like, plot.
Pretending to kill somebody. That's what they're saying, that it was all fake.
Yeah, but Mike would get arrested because you can get arrested, you know, for
your death.
No, not for faking your death, just for, like,
pretending
to hire a hitman and stuff. I know.
The jury found her guilty. The judge, who said the plot was pure evil, sentenced Dahlia to 20 years in prison. Unfortunately, the story does not end here because Dahlia goes to court once again in 2014. This time, the appeals court reversed her conviction based on the fact that they didn't question jurors enough prior to about prior knowledge of the case because of all the publicity. 28 out of 54 prospective jurors raised their hands when they were asked if they heard about the case before. Which, I mean, we all know that you can't know about a case when you are on the jury. The court ruled that she was cheated of a fair trial. She was placed on house arrest while she waited for her second trial in 2014. Her second trial was not in 2014. Her appeals trial was.
Okay.
So she got put on house arrest in 2014 while she waited for a new trial. While on house arrest, her lawyers tried to dismiss her case because they said the police violated her rights before her arrest and that Muhammad had been pressured to work with the police. Dahlia's lawyers pointed out that it wasn't fair that cops was filming. Do you think it was fair?
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, they didn't.
I mean, I think it's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I see why they bring that up. Because they could bring that up easy. Yeah. I think it was.
But doesn't she have to sign some kind of release for them to
air it? I don't know how that works. I feel like it was in their best interest not to record it.
Yeah, that's true.
Or for cops, you know.
Yeah. So in February of 2016, she had a pretrial hearing for her impending retrial. Dahlia took the stand and was questioned by her new attorney, Brian Claypool. She now changed her story on how she met Mike.
Love that. She changes so easy.
Why does it even matter, like, how she met him?
But she literally changes everything. Like,
that's stupid.
And she denies it to the bone.
So she said they met in July of 2008 at Starbucks, not at his office as previously understood. She said she was unaware that he was a convicted felon when they married in February of 2009.
Liar, how do you not know?
She said she was surprised and had no idea he was a felon when his probation officer showed up unexpectedly. There's no way. He just doesn't mention that at all, knowing that his probation officer could show up. He's probably having to go in, take drug tests, pay this money.
He has to go all the time.
He's paying money.
I know.
Where's all this money going? So she said that she wanted to meet up with him to discuss an acting. Wait. She said she was surprised and had no idea he was a She said that Muhammad, who, by the way, is her ex-boyfriend, came back into her life in July of 2009. And she said she wanted to meet up with him to discuss an acting project that she wanted to do with him. Apparently, he was on the show Burn Notice, and she was interested in working with him.
Oh my god, A-list! Muhammad, I want to work on a project.
This is...
It's called, I Didn't Do Anything.
Mike, please.
Mike! Come here, please.
Please.
I love that part. Please, come here, please. She said that she says that Muhammad said he was going to go to the police department. Okay, she's saying like that this whole thing is fake.
Yeah, that it's Muhammad for the reality said, TV.
Literally. And that was also planned as part of the big acting project they were working on. He wanted to make it more realistic, so he was going to go to the police department, huh? That's not how it works. You want to make it real? So you're going to go to the police department? They're going to follow through with that.
I was about to say, so he knows he's going to get arrested when they find out. Like, if this was fake.
She said they met up to talk about the plot and that it was all part of the project. She said he knew that he was taping. She keeps referring to it as a presentation, and it's so cringy I couldn't even listen to the whole freaking thing. Like, I die. Okay? This whole case is embarrassing. She says she didn't want to involve law enforcement. Oh my god.
If that's how you're gonna get on TV.
You're so right, Dahlia. I didn't want to do it. He did. She said she told him she didn't want to go forward with the project like the way he wanted to do it, and she said that Muhammad was really upset and started threatening her. And then she said that Muhammad said that he had already gone to the police department and that they're now threatening and pressuring him to come through.
Okay. Whatever. So she
threatening her. You better tell it.
No. She said that when they discussed the situation in person, she said she didn't want to do it anymore. And he said she had to do it. And she said that he lifted his shirt and showed her his gun. She said that Muhammad threatened to kill Dahlia and Mike if they didn't go through the plot. The whole
sorry. I will kill you if you don't go through this acting project.
This is insane.
She's saying this in court.
So the whole conversation between the prosecution is amazing. We're going to do the dialogue for you. So I will be the prosecutor and Corey will be Dahlia. Where are your notes of all these meetings and what you guys were going to do, your scripts? Where is all the stuff?
At my house.
Okay, where at your house?
In the office.
Where in the office?
It was on the computer and in the office.
Okay, so you can steal that, right?
Say, okay, you can still get that, right?
Sorry. Oh. Okay, so you can still get that, right?
No, I actually can't go back to that property.
Okay, did the police seize that computer?
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, they didn't. Mike was actually leading that investigation, and no, they didn't take anything that was relevant.
All right. Was your ex-husband involved in this?
Yes.
So he met with you and Mr.
Shahade,
and you guys had all these conversations, the three of you together?
Yes.
Did you keep track of stuff on your telephone?
I don't think so, no.
You guys clearly had text messages between each other talking about getting together to do this stuff, to work on the project, right?
There were a lot of phone calls. It was more phone calls than anything.
And are you just phone calls? But what about text? You don't text? Because you sent a lot of text.
I know that there was a lot of phone calls.
But there's not one text, is there? You texting anybody talking about any type of project involving any acting, is there?
I'm not sure. I mean, we were talking so much on the phone, it was easier to talk than it was to text.
So tell us you're aware that when you talk to Mr. Shahade, you're being recorded by the police.
No.
Okay, no idea the police are recording you guys.
No.
So none of this stuff, none of these tapes, you knew anything about being recorded?
No.
So tell me, after August 1st and before August 3rd, what happened with you, your husband, and Muhammad related to this called Project?
Muhammad telling me that he's being threatened, he's getting pressured from the police, and he's threatening me, and I'm going to do what he's telling me to do.
Tell me how he's threatening you.
He's threatening to kill me.
Why did you call him then?
Don't laugh.
Why did you call him then?
Because I had to call him.
And why? Why'd you have to call him?
Because if not, he was going to hurt me. He was going to hurt my family.
All right.
And Muhammad has domestic violence issues. Muhammad has been in trouble for domestic violence.
Wait.
I'm going to get an aneurysm. Dahlia said she was scared and she told Mike and she had said, Dahlia said she was scared and she told Mike and she said Mike was in agreement with him, with Muhammad, and that he wanted to continue the project. So you're going to let a man threaten your wife with a gun and you're going to continue the project? I agree. Let's continue. This is a masterpiece. Dahlia continues to insist that all of this, everything that was recorded, everything, was all part of the plot and a part of the script. She keeps going, it's part of the script. Part of the script.
Oh my God.
The judge said the police sometimes acted in ways that were not consistent with police practices, which we can talk about later. So she went back to trial in December of 2016. In this trial, they did not call Mike to the stand. They wanted to focus on Dahlia's words and actions instead of Mike's testimony and let her actions speak for themselves. Mm. They also did not show the video of Dahlia finding out about her husband at this trial. The defense no longer used the reality TV show as a defense. They said it was all the police's fault for pressuring Muhammad. They said it was all the police's fault for pressuring Muhammad.
Well, I feel like if someone comes in and tells you this, you need to go ahead and get it set up before she finds somebody else and this man really is killed because the police don't know what's going on.
I know. And they're like, okay, well, we'll pursue this. Do you want to wear a wire? Which they have a bunch of people wear wires. Sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't even go anywhere. So they want to make sure before they even set up this whole operation. Mm-hmm. And she's very clear. She says, you guys heard, she's 5,000% sure. So yeah, they had to follow through. I don't know how much pressure they were putting on him, but...
Exactly.
You know.
So, Dahlia actually had become a mother while on house arrest.
Because she was on house arrest for 2 years.
And the jury was split down the middle. 3 for guilty and 3 for not guilty. So, she remained on house arrest while she awaited her third trial. Dahlia's third trial began in June 2017. The prosecutor read text messages between her and her ex, Mike Stanley, where they said, I love yous and I miss yous to each other.
She was literally like, I'm going to die like without you. Like I can't, I cry every day without you. I'm sorry, but how do they get split down the middle, jury?
I know.
She did it.
I know. They have video. So the defense once again attacked the
Boynton
police. He said that the evidence will show a police department that wanted attention, and that's why they did all of this for the Cops TV show. They also pointed that the police department didn't record all conversations with Muhammad, which is against police department policy, as all conversations with their informants must be recorded.
That is a problem.
Yeah. They also said that the police should not have escalated the situation by riling Dahlia up, basically.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm like, because they're like, okay, tell her that you have a hitman. And so he's like, I have a hitman for you. And basically like, hand-feeding it to her.
Yeah.
So that is a great defense, in my opinion. That makes, if I was a juror, I would question, because that's good. I mean, what do you do in that situation? She's basically hand-fed the perfect situation.
I just feel like it's hard, because if she says, I want to kill my husband, and then you go to the police and you say, this woman told me she wanted to kill my husband, and then you don't do anything about it, and she hires a hitman that you know nothing about, and he kills this man.
I know.
Well, then he's dead.
Ultimately, they made the right decision, I think.
Yeah. I think she would have found somebody somehow.
She would have. She's crazy. You can tell she's crazy. I mean, sorry, not to say that, like, you know, I'm just saying, she's like a sociopath. She has no empathy, and she's delusional. Muhammad then actually started testifying for the defense and said that, yeah, the police did pressure him, and he wasn't aware that they even had cameras put in his car. And he said that Dahlia had repeatedly asked for a hitman and denied he ever threatened anyone.
How do they put cameras in your car without you knowing?
He said, like, he went into the police station and, like, they took his keys and it was in a different spot when he came back. I don't agree. I think they probably told him what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because you can hear in the recording, they go over the rights extensively.
I feel like he knew what was going on, and I don't feel like he was pressured or set up.
I don't think he was either.
So, Dahlia didn't testify. The jury found her guilty for the second time. She was crying as she was led away, and an ambulance was called to the courthouse because Dahlia said she couldn't breathe. Dahlia said she couldn't breathe. Dahlia was sentenced to 16 years in prison on July 21st, 2017. Dahlia's attorneys are planning on filing another appeal in the future.
Today, Dahlia sits in prison, and Mike has found new love in someone else. Dahlia's mother still supports her and refuses to believe she hired someone to kill her husband. And that is the story of Dahlia DiPolito in the attempted murder of her husband, Mike DiPolito. How do you feel, Amber?
This is crazy.
I know. This is unlike any case.
Because I can see how, like you were saying, it's hand-fed to her.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like she would have found it no matter what.
If there is a defense to be had for her, that's the only defense.
Yeah.
That it was given to her.
Yeah.
It's like, I can say 100 times, I want to try crack. And if my friend goes and says, hey, she wants to try crack, and they give me crack, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you gave me crack.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. So I feel like that is the only defense they could have had.
And her saying, like, money's not an issue, though, like,
obviously it was. Obviously it was. I mean, it wasn't an issue to pay them. But she says money isn't the reason she wanted him dead. But that's not true.
No.
Because why did she want him dead? See, that never comes up, the real reason. It's like there's so much information on this case, yet it's so hard to understand.
She didn't try to say he was abusive to her, and that's why she tried to.
I know. I think that might have come up at some point, but it wasn't really. She didn't stick with that story for too long. She kind of just started throwing things out there and hoping one stuck.
Yes.
And I think it's really unfair that she said that Mike was in on the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And the fact that she changed her story of how she met Mike completely for no reason. It wasn't even relevant, but they changed the story. And I think the defense did that because they didn't want her reputation to be changed because she was an escort or whatever. And they thought that that looked bad upon her. That's the only reason I can think of why she changed that story.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't.
Who cares if she was a sex worker?
Literally.
And every title of every article about this is ex-escort hires hitman to
I hate that. It doesn't matter what she...
I know. Like, obviously she's the bad person in this case, and I don't want to take up for her, but that's, like, wrong.
Exactly. Is that all that you have to say about that?
What do you have to say about it?
Nothing about this.
No. Are you ready for bullshit and banter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you have?
Okay. I wanted to talk about, or just mention, the missing child from Rogersville, Tennessee. Have you heard about her? Summer Moon Utah Wales is her name.
Yes.
Okay. She's 4 years old. She's female. She's white, blonde hair, blue eyes, about 3 foot and about 40 pounds. She's missing from Rogersville, Tennessee, and she was last seen on, is that June? On June 15th of 2021. An endangered child alert has been issued on behalf of the Hawkins County Sheriff's Office for Summer. So there's been a lot of information kind of come out about this case.
Yeah, and there's still an active search for her, isn't there?
Yes. And I heard that her and her mother and a 15-year-old boy went swimming, and that the mother gave the 15-year-old boy alcohol.
What?
And that he had to go in after Summer and get her, like, she almost drowned. And that when the mom dropped him off, Summer was asleep in the back of the car. There's also another child that went missing close to this. There's a Facebook page about it. So all this stuff is allegedly. Mm-hmm. Everything I've just... Besides the information about her, everything else is allegedly.
Yeah.
She has disappeared. That's true. Mm-hmm. But there is a Facebook page about it, and there's a lot of stuff on there of people kind of speculating and saying different things. And
if y'all could get involved in some way, if you live close to Rogersville, Tennessee.
Or if you could just maybe share her
someone
missing
might see
poster.
It. It's trending all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll post, some pictures of her on Instagram and some information about the circumstances of this disappearance, because when this is posted, it'll still be very relevant. We're posting it tomorrow.
She does have short hair.
Yeah, blonde hair.
She had, I heard they cut her hair really short.
Yeah, they did. She's really adorable. She has, you know,
so
small
cute.
Little baby teeth. They've used police dogs in the search. That's 1-800-824-3463. And on my side of things, I don't really have anything to talk about, I don't think. I will say that Court Junkie, the podcast, by the way, Court Junkie was called Court Junkie before Crime Junkie was even a thing.
Yes.
That's the T. And I haven't really, and I used them for like this whole episode pretty much, but I haven't really listened to anything new except Voices for Justice with Sarah Turney. I listened to the whole first season of her doing the entire timeline of her father's life, her life, and her sister Alyssa Turney's life. If you don't know that whole case, Alyssa Turney, she was 17 years old. She went missing. And actually her dad was arrested this past October.
Her stepdad.
Yeah, her stepdad, her adoptive father was arrested like this past September or something. It's super interesting. And if you're really, really nosy and you like this case because it's nosy, you'll love her podcast because she plays all kinds of recordings and she tells you everything. It's very good.
Yeah, her father was really into recording things.
Yes.
So he left a lot of...
Yes. He reminded me a lot of Powell. What's his name?
Her name is Susan Powell.
Susan Powell.
I can't think of his name.
Oh, man, I can't remember his name. That's good. I don't care about him, but
literally.
Yeah, and he would record Alyssa, and he had, like, cameras in the vents and cameras in her bedroom, and...
And just all over their house.
He would, like, sexually assault Alyssa and other people in his family. It's just crazy, so that's...
He would record, phone conversations, except the time that he called, that Alyssa called.
Literally.
And also, Susan Powell's husband's name is Josh.
Oh, Josh, yeah. Bastard from hell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been occupying my time. Each episode is super long, so that's what I want or listened to this whole last week. And thank you guys for almost 400 followers.
Yes.
You know, follow us on Instagram, TikTok,
Facebook,
Twitter, at Crime Cafe Pod.
Or email us.
Yeah, email us, crimecafepod@yahoo.com, to suggest a case, talk to us, reach out to us. If you have a story or you want us to cover a story, just let us know. And I don't have anything else.
We hope everybody has a safe and happy 4th of July.
Yes.
This will be our last episode before the 4th.
Yes. And
our town already had fireworks last night,
which is crazy.
And they're going to have more the 3rd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In our other neighboring
town. In McKaysville?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is our last episode before the 4th. Our next episode will be the 5th. And we're kind of changing up the content a little bit. We haven't done a straight up murder in a long time because Matthew Warren Brown, the last one we did, technically isn't a murder. So we haven't done one since Hallie Illingworth, and we didn't do one this week or the next 2 weeks, but we promise they're coming, but we need a little bit of a palate cleanser.
Yes.
But our next two episodes are still going to be bomb. Like, you just wait. We've been working really hard for you guys, and thank you so much for being patient with us. So,
and we will see you next, we will talk.
See?
You do it too. You will hear us next week.
Okay. Bye.